Inside on Business, the news hour is brought to you by Square One DSM, a initiative of the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Learn more at squareonedsm.com. And Iowa Softwater, clean, safe softwater for you and your family, iowasoftwater.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us on this Wednesday afternoon. With us is an incredible person. He is known as the Boy Wonder, Robin, from the TV show Batman. And he's still at it. He and his wife, Tracy, live in California, and they are the founders of something called Gentle Giants Rescue. And we're going to talk a little bit about his business and also a bit about his life. Bert, welcome to the Business News Hour. Bert Ward, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, citizen.
It's so good to have you, my friend. We're sitting here in Sioux City, Iowa, because you've made a trip to Consumer Supply. These people make a dog food for you. Tell us about the rescue and how you came to find an Iowa company to build dog food for you.
Well, for the last 23 years, my wife Tracy and I have rescued more than 15,500 dogs, all of which would have been put to death if we hadn't been there to save them. This is our charity. We take nothing from it. We're actually a full licensed IRS 501c3 charity, no different than Muscular Dystrophy or United Way or March of Dimes. And as I said, we take nothing from it, and we rescue primarily giant breed dogs, although now after 23 years of doing it and taking one in and another one in, I think my wife has redefined the term Great Dane to mean if it has four legs and a tail, it must be a Great Dane.
I like her already.
Yeah, so we've rescued these dogs. Every one, we provided the food, shelter, complete medical care, and found a safe, loving home. In the course of doing that, we discovered that giant breed dogs, particularly the Great Danes, the St. Bernards, the Irish Wolfhounds, the Newfoundlands, those breeds traditionally have a short lifespan, usually only, well, if it's a Mastiff, 6 to 8 years, if it's a Great Dane, 7 to 9 years. And when we would lose one of these dogs, my wife and I would literally cry. So we vowed within 5 or 6 months of starting the rescue that we would try to find a way, if possible, to help them live longer, healthier, happier lives. The first thing we did is we found that by the way that we cared for the dogs and by the way we fed the dogs, that actually changed the longevity of the dogs. Now, for example, every dog is spayed or neutered because 85% of all cancer that occurs in dogs, which is still the number one killer of dogs, but 85% originates in the reproductive organs. Mm. So by an early spay or neuter at 5 to 6 months of age, you can actually eliminate 85% of the cancers that will kill your dog, thus giving your dog an average of a couple more years of life right there alone. That's number one. Secondly, we found that by the way we feed the dog, we elevate the dog's food, elevate it both food and water, so they don't have to bend down so much. Why do we do that? Because there is a famous term, stress kills. And we have found out that with dogs that, and our secret is, if you want to know how we have dogs living 27 years, is by a combination of how you feed and care for the dog and the food that you feed them. In terms of feeding and care, you want to minimize the stress that your dog has at any given time. And we basically say this, every stress, no matter how small it is, that you can remove today from your dog's life, you can take that stress and add on to the length of their life. Mm. And that's what we do. So we've got these dogs consistently living into their 20s, some as long as 27 years. And I mean active, healthy, still running around like puppies, still jumping in the air, even at that age. So that is our feeding care program. Our food, which we have made here in Sioux City, Iowa, and a wonderful, immaculate plant that has state-of-the-art equipment, the best technology, that they, everything is completely custom to our specifications, but they make a food for us that has these dogs just living unbelievably long lives. And what is it that makes it so different than other dog food? Number one, we found out when we went to make dog food that dog food manufacturers know something the average person doesn't know, which is the more fat content they put in dog food, the hungrier it makes dogs. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunately all about money. And I explained to people that, look, you can verify what I'm saying by simply looking at your bag of dog food. Turn it over. Look on the back of the bag. Usually that's where this chart is. It's next to the ingredients. It's called guaranteed analysis. The first item is protein. The second is crude fat. You will see that the crude fat of almost all the dog food sold in the United States is somewhere between 12 to 22% crude fat. We don't add any fat to our dog food. We're not trying to sell more dog food. We're trying to keep the dogs alive longer. So our fat content is 9%. Secondly, because dogs love the smell and taste of meat but do not like the smell and taste of fat, dog food manufacturers have a problem getting dogs to eat their fat-saturated food. So their solution is that they have found a different kind of animal fat that after the food is made is sprayed onto the outside of every kibble, completely encapsulating it. If they don't properly encapsulate it, dogs will smell the fat content inside the food and not want to eat it. That's why you have some people say that their dogs are picky eaters. It's not that the dog is a picky eater. It's that the dog is smelling the fat content through the food that wasn't covered up well enough. Well, when you think about it, if you go and feel your dog's food, most dogs' food have a slightly greasy feel. Some have a very greasy feel, but even the ones that have the slightest amount still have a greasy feel to them. And I explained to people, just like you wouldn't take bacon grease and pour it down your garbage disposal because it would ruin it. You know, I mean, here an animal fat will ruin a metal garbage disposal. What do you think is happening to the intestines of that dog you love so much when every single kibble is encapsulated in grease? It's prematurely killing them.
How did you get from this exacting formula that you found? How did you discover and deliver this?
Well, common sense tells us that as humans, we have evolved where we're all living longer, you know, in general than many years before, because you've applied basic science to the things. We try to eat healthier. We try to have smaller, more frequent meals.
Right.
And one of the things we do with dogs, most people only feed their dog once or twice a day, and that is shortening every dog's life.
Really?
And I'll tell you why. And the best way to use it is an example. If you've ever gone out and had a meal where you ate too much and you just literally came home and you couldn't do anything, you had to lay down to digest your food, look how hard your body worked to digest that food. So hard that you couldn't do anything else. Well, when you only feed a dog once or twice a day, that's what you're making that dog go through every single day. And it's wearing their bodies down. It's kind of like on Batman, the sands of time were running out when you turn the hourglass over. Well, your dog has only got so much energy and so much stress that that dog's body can take. So we, as I said earlier, we try to minimize the stress, and every stress that you can remove today from your dog's life, you can add on to the length of their life.
Hmm. The series Batman that you are so well known for, you've taken that fame, and it is famous. I mean, Batman reruns are still seen all over the world,
yes,
translated in numerous countries. And my granddaughter, by the way, believes that she is Batman.
Okay.
So,
well, she has excellent taste.
Yeah. So that in itself, you've parlayed this into a nonprofit that is. And that's an astounding business story in of itself.
Well, and not only that, people say, well, how could you be on television and now be making dog food and rescuing dogs? And it's actually not that far away, because the way I describe it is I was the Caped Crusader and now I am the Canine Crusader. It's still saving lives. It's just saving dogs' lives instead of humans' lives. And what we've been able to accomplish is so incredible. I mean, what is more valuable than life? I can't imagine anything more valuable than life. And, you know, when I'm explaining this to people, and if I see that they're maybe having a little hard time understanding, I use this example. I said, think of it this way. Suppose a restaurant opened up in your city, that everybody that ate at that restaurant could live 200 years and be healthy. How hard would it be to get a seat in that restaurant?
Yeah.
Almost impossible. And what we're doing for dogs is we're giving them the gift of doubling their lifespan.
And you said up to 27 years?
Yes, 27 years. In fact, right now at our home, 24 of the dogs in our rescue have already lived more than twice their normal lifespan. Now, that is consistency. That's not an anomaly.
And these dogs, to make everyone understand this, live in your home.
Oh, yes. They all live communally together in our house. And it's very nurturing, the environment. And they're very clean. And they're very good to each other. And this environment supports longevity. And when I explain to people, part of caring for a dog, when I was a kid, humans lived inside, dogs lived outside. In today's world, people say, oh, well, you know, I bring my dog in every night, but he needs to be outside during the day and get fresh air. That's actually not true at all, because in the wild, coyotes and wolves, they live in their dens 24/7, except when they go out to hunt for food or to go to the bathroom, they go out. But dogs should be living in the main living area of your home. I mean, not everybody should have a dog, but if you're a person that really loves dogs and you want to have one, don't put it in a garage. Don't put it on a patio. Well, of course, that's completely horrendous. Don't leave it outside. People say, oh, but yeah, but I only put it outside when I go to the market. And I said, think of the stress that you're putting on that dog. That dog now is no longer in the security of inside your home. It's outside. Mm. And it sees you leave. So now its complete security has been disabled until you get back. And what does that do? That makes your dog under more stress, and stress kills. So if you want to wonder why your dog is only living 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 or 11 years instead of 27 years like our dogs are living up to, it's because you're not caring for the dog the way the dog needs you to care for. That dog will lay its life down to protect you, but it expects you to be mature and to properly care for it.
You love this, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I tell everybody I've gone to the dogs, literally.
You're not doing this alone either. Your partner is Tracy.
Yeah, my wife Tracy, she is like the Mother Teresa of dogs. She personally cares for the 50 dogs by herself in our house. Personally
50
cares.
Dogs?
Yeah. We always have a minimum of 40 to 50 dogs living in our house for the last 23 years. We have a special permit. We're the only ones in our city that can do this. And, you know, I tell people, I said, look, if my wife can so beautifully care for 50 dogs, you can certainly care for one or two.
Tracy Ward, ladies and gentlemen, a story of her own right there, the daughter of Victor Posner, who was a very famous businessman.
Oh yeah, he's Forbes 400. When I met my wife Tracy, she and her father owned 4,000 companies and annual sales of $26 billion, 200,000 employees. And but my wife has always been totally devoted to charity. And I tell people, I said, you know, we could be off on some island, you know, sipping iced teas in a Greek island, but no, my wife chooses every single day, 7 days a week, 20 hours a day to care for animals. 4 or 5 nights a week, we're in animal emergency clinics because of new dogs that have come in every god-awful condition you can imagine. And we're there, and we spend a fortune in medical bills for those dogs. But our own dogs that have been on Gentle Giants and have been dog food and have been in our feeding care program, they're so healthy, they almost never go to veterinarians. In fact, they usually only go to a veterinarian every 3 years for a $10 rabies update. Now, some veterinarians might not want to hear this, but that is what our dog food and our feeding and care program has done for dogs.
And one final question. You have the most unique marketing plan on your bag I have ever seen. And you know, my business is in the marketing and advertising world. When I first saw your bag, I thought, no way, this can't be. There is no white space on your bag. It's all covered with stuff, pictures and testimonials.
Yes.
It is, and colors.
Oh, yes.
Pinks and yellows.
Yes.
Tell us why.
Well, because my wife, who is an expert in marketing, she believes today's customer wants to know what they're buying before they buy it. So, for example, every bag of our dog food has a window that you can look and see the actual food. And you can see that it's dry and it's not coated with any kind of grease. And you can also read the testimonials of people who are using the food. You can, when it says veterinarian recommended, it's just not some name. I mean, veterinarian recommended. It's the actual photo of the vet and a testimonial from the vet and actual cases where he's used our food to heal dogs. And the pictures of the dogs, instead of an airbrushed photo that dog can't possibly be alive or can't possibly be eating the food in that bag, these are the photos of our dogs that are eating the food, dogs that are 25, 26, 27, puppies that are doing amazing on our food. Every dog in that bag is a dog that is eating Gentle Giant's dog food.
And one of the other interesting things is your daughter. You've taken photographs of your daughter since she was a wee child.
Exactly.
To adulthood with the same dogs.
Exactly. And, you know, dogs don't change that much until they get older, but people do. So we have photographs from our daughter at 6 months of age, a year and a half, all the way up, year after year after year, dozens of photographs per year with each of these same dogs. So when my daughter now is 26 and she has the same dog that she had since she was a year and a half, then you can see what a wonderful gift for a child to grow up with its best friend. And conversely, if you think about it, when people buy dogs for their children and the dog only lives 8 or 9 years of age, now you're explaining death to a 10-year-old child, which I don't think you should have to do that. But if you feed Gentle Giants and you follow our feeding care program, I mean, we've blazoned a path for people to follow that you can get the same results that we're getting with every dog.
Bert Ward, ladies and gentlemen. Bert, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Adam West.
Mm-hmm.
Adam West, Batman, and you were fast friends all through the years. As a matter of fact, the tribute that you gave Adam at his memorial in Los Angeles was one of the most moving things I've ever seen. Tell us about that relationship between Bert Ward and Adam West.
Well, I met Adam just before our screen test. We screen tested together, and it's kind of unique because there were 1,100 young actors that were interviewed for the part of Robin. And I sat down with Adam just before a screen test. And by the way, I had no idea what I was screen testing for. I had these agents that said, hey, there's something going over at 20th Century Fox. Just go over there. Go see this casting director. And then I saw him. And then he asked me, do you want to meet the executive producer? I said, well, sure. I figured everybody did. Well, no, that's not true. Everybody doesn't get to meet the executive producer. I met the executive producer who the first thing he said to me was, well, you're kind of big for this part. And I said, oh, but sir, I promise you, I won't grow anymore. And he laughed. I mean, who can stop from growing? And he said, would you like to do a screen test? I said, sure. I figured everybody got to do a screen test. Not true. But at the screen test, before I did this, what I did actually together, Adam and I read the part of Bruce and Dick. I just got 2 pages with it said Bruce and Dick on it. Okay? So I wouldn't know what it was. So we did our line. And by the way, in 3 minutes of talking to Adam West before we started working, he and I started laughing together. We have a similar sense of humor, and we've laughed together for more than 50 years, and we always got along great. Right after my screen test with that dialogue is Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson, I said, well, thank you very much, and I started to leave. They said, oh, no, we're not done with you yet. We need you to go over to this dressing trailer, and there's 2 wardrobe guys over there going to help you get dressed. And I said, I paused for a moment. I said, listen, I am perfectly capable of dressing myself. I don't need any help. Oh, no, you don't understand. You just go over there. You're going to understand. So I go over to the dressing trailer. I go in. Yes, there's 2 wardrobe guys, and I see this, it's like a big bed. It's, you know, a huge area, much bigger than a bed, actually. It's like a giant couch. And entirely covering this are T-shirts, tights, belts, boots, masks, gloves, capes, all this stuff. And I said, am I going to put some of this on? They said, no, you're going to put all of it on. And I said, oh, my gosh, I got into that costume. Believe me, I had to have help getting into that costume. Most uncomfortable thing in my entire life. I could hardly walk in that costume. And as I was stepping outside the door, I said to myself, thank God, it'll be a few minutes, the screen test will be over, and I'll never have to wear this costume again. Little did I know that I would be wearing that costume 12 to 14 hours a day, 6 days to make each one half hour. We made 120 half hours.
Wow.
That gives you how much, plus two Batman movies.
Burt Ward, ladies and gentlemen, you would know him as Robin. We've been talking about his friendship with Adam West, who recently died. And again, Burt, that tribute was moving, and how they did that.
Yeah, he showed the bat signal on the city hall. Yeah, in Los Angeles, the mayor did the introduction, and then the police chief, and then I spoke. And then they projected that bat signal, and with 1 day's notice, there was something like over 12,000 people assembled to watch that event. Yeah. And it went worldwide. It was shown everywhere in the world.
It's an amazing story. And it's even a more amazing story that you're caring for dogs and that you have a wife that is perhaps an angel.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, she is unbelievable. And on top of that, I like to say I was the Cape Crusader, now I'm the Canine Crusader, but I have a new movie out from Warner Brothers called Batman Return of the Cape Crusaders, animated feature-length movie that your listeners can get in stores or online. And I have another movie coming out from Warner Brothers, and that one's called Batman versus Two-Face. And that movie will be coming out just before Christmas of 2017, it's just a few months away. And when that movie comes out, it's got all these villains in it, and the main villain, Two-Face, is being portrayed by none other than William Shatner.
Oh, no.
So here you have the two most iconic television shows in history, Batman and Star Trek, with the actors working together.
How fun. We'll be looking for that. Burt Ward, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for sitting down and doing this.
Well, thank you, citizen. To the Batmobile!
We're going to step aside for just a few moments so we can find out what happened today on Wall Street. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this special edition.
In a wood stump with a jackknife, cross your T and dot your I, carve your name next to mine, and my marker left my name. Baby, you could do the same. It's grooves on a window pane.